B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Beyond the virtue of crowning a champion, what will the symbolism be of Major League Sports starting back up in this country? And I think that's what President Trump wanted to talk to us all about on that call on Saturday. I mean, it wasn't just a pep talk, but I think it was a reminder of what the meaning is of sports to Americans, to our culture in particular. And in essence, what came back from all the leagues collectively was, once we get the all clear, however that's determined, of course, with public health officials, by our government, federal and state, and it may vary from location to location, we're going to be ready to go. But as you said, you know, first and foremost is the health and safety of everyone involved.
Adam Silver on last night with TNT's Ernie Johnson, and referring to the call with Trump on Saturday among the league commissioners, says it wasn't just a pep talk. Very few details, scant details, have been released from that call or have even leaked out. I'm just wondering, there had to have been a business end to that call. Had to have been a business component to it. And I've just got a few conspiracy theories. One is simply this, because now you're starting to see these leagues, especially baseball, with this Jeff Passan story on ESPN, which we'll get to a second. But it feels like more plans are coming out, or more perspective plans, more ideas are coming out. And I'm hearing more about testing as it relates to these leagues. There was an ESPN.com story about testing and how the NBA and the NBA Players Association in recent weeks, I'll read straight from it, in recent weeks, officials within the NBA and the NBAPA have been collaborating in assessing the viability of multiple blood testing devices for the coronavirus that could provide accurate results within minutes, within a matter of minutes, a process that would hopefully enable the league to track the virus in what is considered a critical first step towards resuming play in the near future. Maz has talked about this a lot. Abbott Laboratories has a diabetes-like blood test in which someone could, with the prick of a finger, be tested quickly, and results could be gained inside of 15 minutes. And so the idea is every player, every team is tested every time they go inside the building. Then you know within 15 minutes if anyone is positive. You test if someone does come back positive. You test all the teammates. Are they positive? You quarantine, and then you can still plow ahead. One positive does not shut the whole thing down, because you can quarantine teammates. You can find out if teammates have been infected or not. This is a crucial first step, not just in sports, but in our entire society. This is a huge threshold, okay? And the leagues are starting to talk like they may have this. The league sources stressed, according to the ESPN.com story, that advances in science and medicine are proceeding at a rapid pace with collaboration across borders, which offers hope that breakthrough solutions could be possible sooner rather than later. Based on more than a dozen interviews with general managers and athletic trainers around the league in recent days, there is a collective sense that, in general, discovering effective methods for rapid result testing is the critical hurdle that must be cleared for games of any type to take place in the coming weeks and months. Quote, rapid testing results are the key to return to work, return to sports, everything, one NBA general manager told ESPN. Whatever job you have and environment you work in, if you're interacting with people, we're all going to have to feel safe about doing that, and sports is not any different. Another trainer told ESPN, even if the technology is there, is it accessible? Because obviously, we have higher priority people that may need that, like our emergency workers, our healthcare professionals, that definitely take priority over our players. As one GM said, quote, there's no way we're going to come back before it's socially acceptable. And so this is just sort of where my conspiracy theory, you know, comes in, Maz, and that is they can't do it without testing, right? No league, even with these controlled environments and the bubble cities and the quarantine teams and all of this, they have to have testing. They have to have rapid testing. So what if on that call with Trump, he told the commissioners, guys, I'm going to get you your testing. Okay, we're gonna keep that to ourselves, because then everyone else is, because people out there are going to lose their minds if they think that we're steering tests towards these leagues and people are getting them ahead of, you know, people who should be getting them. That if these leagues are getting them and these players are getting them before people who need them are getting them, this is bad PR. We're not going to, but trust me, you're going to have the tests. So figure out where you should go, find out the buildings you can play in, start planning these things, because I'm going to get you the tests. And I wonder if that's what's at the root of this whole thing that we've gotten in the last 24 to 48 hours, which, again, Maz, feels like an uptick in planning of these leagues to return.
Oh, so I don't think there's any question that something along those lines took place. And, you know, now whether or not it's feasible is a different issue. But this wasn't just a, hey, guys, go get them. I mean, I think there were business discussions there about, hey, look, we think it's important, and I'm speaking from Trump's point of view now. Hey, look, we think it's important for the country to have these diversions, to have these activities, because they mean something to people for a lot of different reasons in a lot of ways. So we're going to help you. We're willing to help you with regard to the testing part of it. You guys come up with a plan, and we'll see if we can make this work. Let's work together. And I just think that is... it's essential. It has to happen that way, because otherwise they're not going to get the cooperation of federal health officials, and there's just no way they're going to be able to get the thing off the ground. And Mike, we talked about the leagues being in touch with one another. You know, the MLB and the NBA and the NHL, that the NFL was the only one that really wasn't engaging, because the NFL is, you know, really on a different plane and level to these other leagues. But the rest of them, in terms of TV time and having to share things and all of that, I think are going to require cooperation. It only makes sense that they would also involve the government in those discussions in order to try to get these things off the ground.
Well, they have to. And Murray, hold on one second. They have to, because... you know, they're not going to go ahead unless they get the okay from the public health officials.
Exactly.
So I feel they're working in conjunction with the government. And so this is part of this push. And the Major League Baseball thing is fascinating. Jeff Passan last night, sources, MLB union focused on plan that could allow season to start as early as May in Arizona. The plan, sources said, would dictate that all 30 teams play games at stadiums with no fans in the Phoenix area, including the Diamondbacks' Chase Field, and also 10 spring training facilities and perhaps other nearby fields in that Phoenix area. Players, coaching staffs, and other essential personnel would be sequestered at local hotels where they would live in relative isolation and travel only to and from the stadium, sources said. Federal officials at the CDC, as well as the National Institute of Health, have been supportive of a plan that would adhere to strict isolation, promote social distancing, and allow MLB to become the first professional sport to return. Most important, writes Passan, would be a significant increase in available coronavirus testing, with a quick turnaround time, which sources familiar with the plan believe will happen by early May, and allow MLB's testing to not diminish access for the general public, meaning the testing will be so widespread that people won't get upset that the league will have the tests. But either way, once again, there's this link here between the federal government, tests, and these leagues. And so this is what I wonder, if that's what came out of that Trump call, where Trump told those leagues, guys, you'll get your testing. Go ahead and start making your planning. Here's the fun stuff. Both sides, the players and MLB, acknowledge the uniqueness of the season in Arizona would not be limited to the stadium location or roster size. Rosters would increase. Among the possibilities that have been discussed among people from both sides are, one, implementing an electronic strike zone that would allow the plate umpire to maintain sufficient distance from the catcher and the batter. Again, they're going to try and maintain social distancing as much as possible, keep these players and umpires as separate from each other as possible. So they're going to put the umpire 6 feet behind the catcher and implement an electronic strike zone. All right. Also, no mound visits from the catcher or pitching coach. Thank God. 7-inning doubleheaders, which with an earlier than expected start date could allow baseball to come closer to a full 162 game season. Regular use of on-field microphones by players as an added bonus for TV viewers, because there won't be crowd noise. And instead of players sitting in the dugout, them sitting in empty stands 6 feet apart. These are going to be empty spring training buildings, or maybe college stadiums or high school stadiums, sitting in the stands 6 feet apart instead of the dugout. So, Maz, Murray, you got thoughts on this?
Well, first, I just wanted to go back to like the what you think the call was about, because I would believe that too, that it wasn't just like an attaboy and like, let's get back to work, everybody. Like, there was some kind of business deal maybe going on here, and that Trump is saying to these league's commissioners, hey, we'll get you these new tests, which is fine. I think most rational people, especially us, like, we want sports back both as a checkpoint that we're getting back to normal, and it's something that can get our minds off the hell we're now living in. But I was thinking about it as you were saying it. What if these players are going to be the very first people to be using these tests, these like diabetic type tests where you're pricking your finger? In other words, they're going to be the guinea pigs for this?
I don't think so. I think those are rolling out in the next month or so, Maz, don't you think? Next week or so, don't you?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that these would be made available to players first. I mean, that's problematic on multiple levels, not the least of which is the fact that right now there are people that are in dire need of these tests. And so until they can get to the point where they have a, you know, dare I say, a surplus, and I don't know what that number is, or certainly a number that is workable, if not a surplus, I don't know that they can pull that off.
So to me, I think, but that's, you know, the feds know that this Abbott Laboratories or maybe others, they're coming. These tests are coming. And we're going to have them in the next, I mean, it's still only, for crying out loud, it's April 6th. You know, the passing story was start sometime in May. Others think mostly June. So we got 60 days. We got 2 months here. And so maybe the feds just know these things are coming. You know, these tests are coming. And so you're going to get your tests, Rob Manfred. You're going to get your tests, Adam Silver. You're going to get your tests, Gary Bettman. Okay, we can't guarantee the people are going to be back in the buildings, but you should be able to play if you can figure out where to play it.
Yeah, I would think you're going to have some skeptical guys, especially like if baseball is going to try to get this whole thing, you know, this undertaking underway, and they start playing in mid-May, I'd be like, I don't know, like who else has used these? Can I trust this test? How do I know if it's even accurate? You know, like,
well, yeah, then it goes back to, all right, guys, meaning the players, you want to get paid? You want to get paid? I mean, a lot of you guys are leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table. So we don't blame you. You know, if you don't trust the tests or you don't want to sequester yourself for 4.5 months away from your family, totally got it. You're not going to get paid. So, like, there's a decision there to be made. Do you want to earn your salary or not? Take the test. Sequester yourself. If you don't want to, no problem. But then, you know, there's no money either. There's a cause and effect there. So your thoughts on this? This is a fascinating plan, and we've talked a lot about some of these things that have been, that we've had to do here that we'd like made permanent policy. I think baseball has got a million things that they may implement here in the next couple months that we'd like to see permanent policy. No
Absolutely.
Mound visits? Oh, my God. Thank you very much. No mound visits. That's one. That's an easy one. But, you know, your thoughts on this? 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
We're here. We're ready to go. I mean, I don't want to leave the suggestion in with anybody that we're not doing everything we possibly can to restart under the right circumstances. But, of course, player safety and the health of everyone in the NBA family has to come first. I mean, that may mean that there's a scenario in which we can play without fans. I mean, that's something we looked a lot at. In fact, I think the Warriors were scheduled to play the first fanless game before we were shut down. So we were looking at that possibility and we're thinking about what that might mean. How would those games be televised? Would we still play in huge NBA arenas or would we go to practice facilities? Would we go to a single site? I mean, there's been a lot of conjecture about various cities and places that might hold a tournament. Again, we're in listening mode right now. We've been contacted by many of those jurisdictions to ask what our level of interest is, and we've talked to them about what their capabilities are. But once again, it's just there's too much unknown right now.
Okay, again, Adam Silver. He's saying no decision is going to be made till May 1st, which is good, too. Like, I don't feel we're anywhere close to playing right now or being able to say this is going to happen right now. My God, things have changed so much in 3 weeks. Who knows what it's going to be in another 3 weeks? And he talked about that a lot last night with Ernie. It's like, when we shut it down March 11th, we said 30 days. Did you have any idea it was going to look like this, you know, 3 weeks later? So who knows what it's going to look like in another 3 weeks? So Silver's smart. He's not going to make any decisions now. And it's not. But they're investigating everything, and they're talking to everybody. And that's what they should be doing. And if things turn around and they're able to do it, they can hit the ground running. And that's what I think they all should be doing. And baseball feels like, you know, stunningly, Maz, as you mentioned earlier, could be leading the charge on this. Could be ahead of the curve for once on something.
Well, and I told you earlier that, you know, that if the NBA and the NHL were to play during the season, and what I mean earlier, Mike, I mean, you know, in the last couple of weeks, that I think would be a great kick in the ass for baseball because they don't often have, they never have competition during the summer. So I like the idea of baseball having competition. And this, if Major League Baseball is serious about getting back this quickly, I think what they're doing is responding to the threat of the NHL and the NBA being there in the middle of the summer, and they said, you know what, we better get on the field now.
Because if we can
beat everybody onto the field, then we will have a captive audience for at least a short period of time. As we can be the first ones back out on the field, people are looking for something to watch right now. And I think that, look, some of the proposed rule changes, the idea of automated strike zone or electronic strike zone and no mound visits at all, be it by the catcher or the pitching coach. I love these, and I'd love to see this be a, for lack of a better term, laboratory for baseball to sample these things, and let's see how much they really impact the game and whether we like them.
It's not enough changes to me. And this is, okay, yeah, if they're the first ones back, and it is trending that way, right? Like, they're going to get the buzz of it for a week, and then I think that goes away outside of the hardcores and the gamblers. Like, especially if they're playing in front of nobody, so it's that game added with silence. Good luck.
I'll tell you what, Murray. I think people don't appreciate this. I mean, you watch the Sox at Fenway, you're used to it being full. There's a lot of ball games in a lot of stadiums where the stadium is a third full. I mean, and we watch a million games like that. Not as many with the Red Sox, but trust me, I watch the Brewers. There are a lot of empty stadiums in those games that I watch. It doesn't really impact my viewing experience much. Joe in Arizona, bring us back here. What do you got, Joe?
Okay, just want to talk a little bit about the heat out here. We play golf all year. It's 116. I'd rather play golf here in the summer than New Hampshire in the summer. Two. You play baseball in Texas, St. Louis. Is that the real great place to play? It's hot and humid there.
Okay, Joe, maybe this conversation, Maz, the Major League Baseball in Arizona is just an excuse for people to talk about the weather because they love talking about the weather.
Oh, you know, do like, they ever?
It's hot, it's cold, it's hot there in the summer, it's cold there in the summer, it's hot there in August versus, like, people love it. And I think it's like the top 10 most boring. If you cannot talk about the weather, here's a tip for everybody out there. If you cannot talk about the weather, you become 5 to 10% more interesting. It's just, you become instantly less boring if you don't talk about the weather. It's just a little thing, keep it in mind. But anyway, people love talk. Yes, it's going to be hot in Arizona in August. Do you want baseball or not? And I know that caller's in favor of it. I get it. But the amount of callers, they're going to say, well, it's going to be so hot there if they keep playing. Yep, it's going to be hot. Yep, do you want baseball or not?
Right, exactly. At some point here, you're going to have to give something up. And this is like, you know, it's like being at the bargaining table trying to discuss a trade and the other side doesn't want to give you anything. And you're like, well, what the hell are we even wasting our time for? So in this particular scenario, there aren't many choices. You can't go to any sort of place with significant population or that doesn't have enough facilities or fields or enough hotels. Like, you've got to pick your spots. You have a limited number of opportunities. And again, as you said, this guy at least was in favor of it, and he raised a couple of good points. St. Louis, Kansas City. It is stifling in Kansas City in the summertime. Texas is
Arlington, Texas? Oh, my God.
Exactly. Now, you can say that in those places, well, this is why they play night games. And I would say, true, but they don't play all night games. They do play some day games. So maybe there's a way with some creative scheduling to avoid having a team play five straight days in the middle of the afternoon in Arizona. You don't get the 2 o'clock Eastern game or the 5 o'clock Eastern game every time that you're out there. You get some days you're going to get the 8 a.m. game or whatever it is. There are ways to mitigate this so that teams aren't playing in the heat every single day. And if you want the teams and the sports back on the field, you're going to have to make some sort of sacrifice.
It's unbelievable. We talk about finishing the hockey season in August. People call about the ice. We talk about saving the baseball season in Arizona. They talk about the desert heat in July. Do you want the games or not, folks? Jamie, in the car on testing. Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
So basically, my take is this. The feds are way behind the private labs as far as testing is concerned. So whatever Trump said in that meeting, it doesn't really matter. I assume that these leagues have tons of money. They're going to the private labs and saying, hey, hook us up. And the thing is, it's the antibody testing that you need to get people back to show who has immunity and who doesn't.
Right.
And that's the holy grail of this whole mess that we're in right now.
Is
Agreed. Antibody testing to find out who's immune. And if they can get that taken care of, then you're good.
So, right, I agree. And it feels to me, whether it came from Trump on that call or not, I'm just sort of piecing those together because it sort of times out. But whether it came from him or not, I'm getting the sense, Maz, that the league thinks they're going to have it. Otherwise, why go through this, you know, this work? I mean, and it is a big undertaking to pick up an entire league and put it in Arizona, or the NHL talking about North Dakota or Manchester, New Hampshire, or the NBA in Las Vegas. Unless they had an idea that that was coming, I don't know why they'd go through the tremendous legwork it takes to figure this out.
Yeah,
so,
and look, hopefully
that's what's going on, Maz.
Well, so look, I think the caller misses one point, which is the idea that these leagues and private corporations, which, you know, effectively is how these leagues are operating. If they're going to go to all these private labs and get these tests, well, then they're depriving those tests of people in government positions or public service positions that are trying to get the same tests. So this is why the government is asking for some sort of cooperation on the part of the leagues that, look, don't take, you know, we'll work with you on getting the tests. There are people in need of them. We'll work with you on it, but there's got to be some level of cooperation. So don't go undermine us and our cause because we want to get games back on the field. That's number one. Secondly, and I don't know how much we want to get into this because we've certainly stayed on the sports side of this thing. There's a wonderfully interesting story in The Atlantic about the antibody testing and the experiment that's going on in Telluride. And Mike, I'm sure you probably read this because you read everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so there's a community of basically 11,000 people out there that they want to conduct antibody testing on because they will be able to diagnose or assess who has the immune system and the antibodies to fight the disease that have already had it. And then these people can, in theory, go back into the workforce. And so if we can get to the point where something like that is more widespread, then that just opens up an entirely different range of possibilities.
But again, I just wonder if the league has some inside info or inside track on either knowledge of this or the actual tests to know that they're coming. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, I'm hoping we all have it. I'm hoping that this is what's coming for all of us. But as it relates just to this topic, I wonder if the reason they're starting to roll this out, and again, it feels like the arrow finally, for the first time in weeks, I feel like there's just this little creep of momentum towards these leagues coming back. And I wonder if there's a reason behind it. That's all. Because there's usually a reason behind everything. Here comes Murray's update. Chris Sale spoke today. He had an elective surgery in the middle of a pandemic. He spoke today. NFL rule changes coming as well. You hear those updates when we come back. What hockey has in store for their plan right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Very, very professional in their approach, so I don't believe they're going to come back and not be focused and ready to go if they get the word. So that part of it, I'm not too concerned. It's just, you know, building good habits back into your game. How much physicality in your practice or training camp, whatever you want to call it, versus just getting their skating legs will be a big thing that most coaches are going to probably monitor, because you don't want to beat the crap out of each other in practice. Yet it's playoff hockey, right? I mean, it's physical, so you want to have the guys have some level of comfort with that. So again, that would depend on, are we going to regular season or right into playoffs? So that's what we're looking at. But once we get together, I think it all comes back quickly. We've all been through this for a long time. So for us, I think getting back into work mode will be an easy transition, you know, if and when we're able to do it.
Okay, that was Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy on, was it an athletic podcast? Jimmy, help me with the
credit. It was Fluto, Joe MacDonald, and Billy Jaffe.
Very good. So talking about the challenges of ramping back up, and that, talking about the hardest ramp up is, I think we hit on this earlier, Maz. In a lot of respects, I think the NHL has the hardest, the biggest mountain to climb on so many fronts. First of all, coming back and just having a TV product does less for the NHL than it does for any other sport, because their, you know, TV ratings are low to begin with, and their TV contracts are not as substantial as some of these other leagues. And so they can come back and just build a TV studio, a hockey rink, and just play for the TV audience and not put fans in the stands. But for their bottom line, that's going to have the biggest impact for them versus the other sports. Okay, so like they need fans just about more than anybody. I know baseball, I know, is gate dependent too, because there's so many games. But, you know, if those baseball teams can salvage their regional sports networks and the regional TV contracts, that's been the big driver in the game right now, the regional TV contracts.
Absolutely, yeah, huge part of it for baseball.
So that's huge for baseball. If they can just get back on the field, and even in front of empty stadiums, they get to salvage that TV money. Salvaging TV money in hockey is not, it's not as lucrative. So they're going to take the biggest hit if they come back in empty buildings. I think they're going to try the hardest to get fans back in the building. Furthermore, it's hard to imagine that, you know, and again, in basketball, you can take over the MGM Grand in Las Vegas and put a floor down, a basketball floor down in the casino, put a basketball floor down in a convention space, put a basketball floor down in a big ballroom, and you know, just build a basketball TV studio and play there, never mind the actual arena that's inside there. You can't do that in hockey. You need multiple buildings with multiple NHL-sized rinks. And I think that's, you know, not going to be the easiest thing to find. So there's that element to it as well. But they are looking at places. And the one that came out over the weekend was North Dakota, Maz. How do you feel about picking up and heading to North Dakota to finish the NHL season?
Okay, so look, at some level, you sort of chuckle about it. You know, North Dakota, what the hell are you going to go do in North Dakota? But I do think it makes sense. Now, the one thing I question is the facilities. So I don't know how many rinks they have there. I know they said that they have 14 locker rooms. But to me, you need multiple sheets of ice if you want to get 32 teams. And I always get the numbers mixed up at all the leagues.
31.
Right, you want to get that number of teams on the ice and playing a portion of a season, let alone an entire postseason. You know, that gets tricky and that gets complicated. But, I mean, it makes sense. You have lots of space, you know, relatively little population in terms of, you know, people per square mile. And so, to me, this is exactly like we were talking, except we said Canada. It might as well be Canada. It's north. It's relatively, you know, desolate, for lack of a better word. And so you don't have people stepping all over each other. I'm for anything that allows them to play games.
Yeah, me too. And just because the NHL, like you say, like they have, from a logistical standpoint, they easily have the most difficult path. It ain't like the NBA, who can basically play anywhere as long as it's, you know, sealed off and they're testing players. But you just can't put the ice anywhere. So it's going to be somewhere weird like North Dakota, or maybe somewhere you'd never heard of in Canada. But I will say this, because I just dawned on me hearing Cassidy for the first time in ages. I need this to happen, because I do feel more and more ripped off, as, you know, I as much as I don't trust Tuukka Rask, I did think the Bruins could actually do something special this year. It felt that way. They certainly were playing that way. And they never gave you any kind of real doubt. And you know, tonight probably would have been game one of their first round series.
It's right, Matt Murray. You're so right. Yeah, it would have been Wednesday. Or what is this, Tuesday?
Tuesday. Either way. I mean, they wrapped up on Saturday, in theory.
So it probably would have been tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay.
But either way, the season ended Saturday, right? But you're so right. I think they're getting ripped off more than the team. It kind of felt like their year. I know that's a hard thing to say in that sport, but I sort of felt it with them. So I think they have the most to lose. This also occurred to me, though. Do you know what a massive break it is for the Celtics if they actually come back and play in these empty arenas? Because you understand, they're the three seed. We forget. It's been so long and so much has happened and the right. world is, you know, the world is ending. So I can sort of feel silly talking about the standings in the NBA Eastern Conference. But they were the three seed, which means at Toronto, the second round, where they suck, and then at Milwaukee in the conference finals. If they play in these empty buildings, that's all gone. That's all gone. Like, I think the Bucks' biggest advantage over the Celtics, the only reason I would pick the Bucks over the Celtics, is that Game 7's in Milwaukee. And never mind Toronto, where, again, you have a very limited amount. Talk about a golden break for the Celtics, where finishing third and having to have those road games where it really matters may not end up being a factor for the Celtics. Like, do you understand how that opens it up for them?
Oh, yeah.
No question. I mean, yeah, of course, they also lose home court against Philadelphia in the first round. So
not worried about it.
You should be.
I shouldn't be. It's a trash team. Trash team. But either way, you know, you're right, though, Murray, about, like, where hockey's going to go. It is going to be somewhere goofy like this. It's going to be, you know, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and it should. They can't hole up in Vegas. They can't go to Arizona. They're going to have to go to some of these places. And I hope they patch it together. I hope the NHL follows the NBA's lead, not to Vegas, but to somewhere else, more hockey-ish. And, hell, Grand Forks, North Dakota certainly qualifies. And they can do their own little version of what the NBA's doing. And I really hope that that comes up. So there's that. We get back to your phones on everything in our long commercial-free segment. I think I'm going to play a little bit of sound here. One of my favorite pieces of sound from today was Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan was on with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN, and he talked about the MLB ramping back up and potentially playing in Arizona and what he calls the biosphere, this, you know, quarantine zone where the players just go from the hotel to the stadium and play their game and they're away from their families for 4.5 months. Will players go for that? Will players allow themselves to be separated from their families for 4.5 months? He had an interesting answer to this, and you'll hear it right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If they get to the point where they are ready to go inside the biosphere, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a 2-week period, and this could be a 2-week period that is used as the new spring training, where players, coaches, managers, everybody inside of there are getting tested. And look, those tests need to be available in an abundant quality to ensure that baseball players aren't getting the same criticism that NBA players got. Like, hey, why are these people getting tested when those who are actually sick can't? So you need a lot of tests, and there's the expectation that that's going to happen. If someone gets sick at that point, what doctors and public health officials have told Major League Baseball and the players is that you do not necessarily have to shut down. If we have the testing, if we can contain this, if the entire room has not been infected, Well, we're going to have much bigger rosters, and that is a big part of this whole plan.
I can't possibly see any player saying, yeah, sure, I'll go sequester myself in a biodome for 4.5 months to play baseball and I'll see my family. There's no way in hell I can see that. But just going back to your initial point and the possibility that maybe more likely...
I want to offer you an anecdote, actually.
Please.
Because, you know, I started hearing about this recently, and I wanted to run it by a couple of players. And I ran it by a player last night. And when I ran it by this player, he said exactly. I mean, almost word for word, Scott, what you said right there. And then this morning, he sent me a text. And he said, talked it over with my wife. She said if it means getting paid, I can do the 4.5 months.
That's a good anecdote by Jeff Passan there. And that's what it comes down to. Millions of dollars are on the table. Do you want it or not? And I don't blame you if you don't. Like, I would respect you if you don't. Like, you can leave that kind of money on the table as a player especially. You know, you don't want to be away from your family. In times of a pandemic, you want to stay with them. You don't want to isolate yourself. I got it. Okay. No problem. But you don't get paid. So if you want your money, then you're going to have to go do it. And in terms of all the hardships that we have faced as people and, you know, people have faced over the years, I think, you know, 4.5 months at the Ritz-Carlton in Scottsdale playing ball for millions of dollars is not the hardest time I've ever heard, Mass. That's not the greatest bit of adversity that I've ever heard in my life. I think the guys should be able to handle it if that's what they want.
Well, particularly when you factor in, and I understand it's one big block of time, but of those 4.5 months, half of that time, 2.25, they're on the road anyway. So there's really not all that much home time. I just think that, we were both around athletes for a long period of time. I think that they would do it. I don't, you know, there might be some that have concerns. And there might be some that have underlying health issues that would have some concern about doing it, but I think you could get the large majority of people to participate.
Yeah, and think of how much work they'll also be putting in their free time scouring Instagram for local co-eds from Arizona State who stuck around. And then you could say, well, how could they hook up with them? They'll slide in the DMs, they'll get the numbers, and then they'll start, you know.
No, there's going to be a tight quarantine zone there, Murray. No road beef is allowed inside the biosphere. That's crucial to the biosphere.
Well,
okay?
you can get the video on your phone. You can
still, all right, fine. Well, know. That's, yeah, okay.
What if you bring the road beef into the biosphere before you go in?
No, that's not allowed. You have to, either the road beef is in the biosphere, hermetically sealed and tested, or they're out. You're either in or you're out of the biosphere.
Exactly. That's a whole. You just bring them in at the beginning.
Oh yeah, fine. Yeah, get them cleared. Have a whole zone of road beef. But again, 4.5 months away from your family, quarantined in Arizona. We had a previous caller that said, "Where do I sign up? 4.5 months out of the house, away from my family, I get to play ball." Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm in. So maybe they won't have as many people, you know, resisting it as we think. So we continue with your thoughts on this and everything else from today. Hi, Mike in Worcester. Go ahead. You're up next.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a question. Say, since baseball is probably the next sport to get going, what happens if on the Sox, Yankees, Astros, whoever, three of their star players come down with this virus and they're out, and now they're playing at a disadvantage against other teams? Is it going to affect the playoff, you know, the playoff situation? Is it just...
Well, Mike, let me just cut you off. I mean, let me ask you, what happens when the best player in the Yankees rips his knee and misses the playoffs? They keep playing and you miss. I mean, this is just another now injury, illness, / you know, malady that the players are going to have to battle through or not or get shut down with. It's just another thing. I mean, it's injuries and illness are already a part of these sports, right, Maz?
Did you catch that, malady, Murray? I think he meant malady.
Yeah. But
well, you know what? I mean, see, you know what?
unless he was talking to his wife, malady. And in which case, you know.
What are you suffering from, malady?
I knew I shouldn't have tried that word. I knew it.
But nonetheless, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off track. But you beat me to it because I was going to say, oh, you mean like when the Red Sox, for example's best pitcher has to have Tommy John surgery before the season begins? How does that affect the outcome? They all do. This is really the whole whole point is that particularly if they build in the roster depth, one of the things they're going to say to these teams ahead of time is, look, we're going to allow for the fact that there are going to be guys who come down with this virus. And so what we're going to have to do is quarantine them. If we're testing regularly, then we should be able to get them out of there before they infect other people or too many other people. And then they're set up, they're out for 2 weeks, just as they would be if they were on the injured list. And then when they are, when they're healthy again and they're not contagious again, then they come back and play just like they would in any other season. I think we've been previously operating under the premise that if one person gets it, everything shuts down again. And I don't think that's necessarily true, particularly with baseball.
And that's been, I think, the turning point here in the last couple of days. And you'll have some interesting sound here coming up from Adrian Wojnarowski talking about what happens when something does slip through the cracks and someone does test positive. And, you know, what's that going to mean? Because right now, to this point, someone testing positive means you're shut down for 14 days, isolated, and anyone you've come in contact with is shut down, isolated for 14 days. Nothing gets back. Nothing. Not sports, not anything comes back as long as those are the guidelines, and they are currently. So testing is going to address that, but what if still something slips through the cracks? There's a interesting angle to that. Real quick here. Here's my lady, Estelle in Maine, picking up that Brady conversation. Hi, Estelle. What do you got? Estelle! You got to turn your radio down, your TV down, dear. I'm not going to hang up on you. Just get us on regular hold, and we'll pick you up next hour. Here's first is Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.